frustrating day, this one. Leeds came with a game plan. They frustrated Liverpool for 90 minutes. We really didn't test the Leeds goalkeeper enough in the second half or in the first half. The only one big note to tell you about from today is that Alisson Becker has now got 100 clean sheets for Liverpool, which is a special milestone for him. Leeds might have won it near the end when Calvert-Lewin, the ex-Everton man, came on. He thought he scored from a long throw, but it was offside, and Liverpool breathed a sigh of relief. Liverpool had the lion's share of possession, but in truth, we just didn't do enough with it. Ekitike might have had a penalty in the first half. Ekitike missed a great chance from a Frimpong cross. Frimpong was a big shining light for Liverpool, particularly in the first half before he ran out of steam. Engamoa came on, but it was too little too late, and it ends frustratingly. Liverpool 0, Leeds United 0.
Yeah, frustration is very much the word here at Anfield, as described there by our commentator Steve Hunter. Coming up in this first episode of The Reaction in 2026, we will hear from Arne Slot, as well as our pundits, former Reds Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer, are here with myself, Becky Davis. First, though, the thoughts of Virgil van Dijk. He's speaking to Peter McDowell.
Well, Virgil, any time you don't win here at Anfield, it's an unusual feeling and probably one that you come off the pitch a bit disappointed with.
Yeah, definitely. I think we didn't create enough chances to deserve a win today. I think obviously Leeds defended well, but I think we should have done better. I think we were not great in our last part of our game, and then obviously it's key to make sure that we don't concede. And I think obviously we did that well, but we want to do much better in the last part of our game. What we can do as well, but. It was one of those nights, and we can't dwell on it too long. Obviously, the intentions are clear. We want to do it, but unfortunately, it didn't happen. And now we have to focus on a trip to London, what will be very, very difficult as well.
What did you make of the incident in the first half there with Hugo? Sometimes those go for you, those go against you, but it feels sometimes at the moment there's no incentive for players to stay on the feet.
Yeah, I think Hugo maybe a bit too honest in that sense, but... from my position, I thought it was a clear foul, and in the end, it was also a throw in the water to the opponent as well. So it was a very strange 5 seconds of what it was. But listen, at the end of the day, we all have to deal with that. They have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. And we have to keep going, and that's part of the game.
What did you try and change at half-time? It was always going to be gritty, wasn't it? Sitting in the deep block like they do with five at the back. They'll try and kill the clock and everything else. But was there something you were intent on trying to change in the second half?
No, I think you have to sort of stay patient, even if you want to go at them in possession as quickly as possible. Go in their last line as quickly as possible. But the spaces are not always there. You have to create these spaces in order to... You have to play side to side, you have to keep them on one side and switch to the other side. You have to do all these things that we know we can do and we've showed. But unfortunately tonight our last part of our game wasn't good enough. And that's it.
It's unrelenting, the schedule. The positive is that you don't surrender many chances. I know they score and it's ruled offside late on, but we didn't concede many big chances at all today.
No, and I think that's the basis, of course, of trying to get a result. But, listen, I think we all fought very hard in order to not concede, and I'm glad that happened. But obviously we all want to have a complete performance, and that also goes with having our last part of our game much better. And like you said, on to the next. We play Sunday again.
Yeah, just finally unrelenting, isn't it? The schedule that you're in now, 2 games in 3 days, just recover and go again. You travel Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously that's the responsibility that we have as Liverpool players in our position then. So you have to look after yourself, sleep well, eat well, rest up, and do the right treatments and recovery regime in order to be ready. And there we go again. That's part of life.
Virgil van Dijk there speaking with Peter McDowell. As mentioned, Phil Thompson, Jason McAteer here with me in the studio outside Anfield. It's fair to say you can see the frustration, wasn't it, written all over the captain's face there. That frustration, I think, is shared here in the studio. Tomo, Liverpool just never really got going tonight, did they?
Just watching, listening to Virgil was everything that we all feel.
Yeah.
It just wasn't happening. It wasn't clicking. And I think one of the big things is just make sure you don't lose a soft goal, something like that. That makes it an uphill. Because the longer the game went, Leeds getting stronger, getting more sort of bullish and, come on, we can do this, we can do it. And Virgil's right, we didn't create enough. We didn't move them about enough. And as he said, we moved the ball side to side, but we're watching it. We're all wanting it quicker. But Leeds just defended very, very well. I was just pleased. As a defender, we didn't give much away today. I know Calvert-Lewin got one. That was offside. Besides that, there was nothing. Barring Ali's mistake, which wasn't, obviously had nothing to do with poor defending.
I mean, that is, I suppose, if you want to take a positive, the basis of everything that you build on, Jace. But they didn't test Leeds at all, really, did they? You know, a lion's share of possession, as you would come to expect, really, at Anfield, but just no real end product with it.
Yeah, I was just listening to the interviews and, you know, Peter mentioned it twice in his questioning to Virgil about the schedule, and I think it's a fair point. I don't want to make any excuse, but it's seven games now that they've had in, I think, 31, 32 days. You know, there's not been a great deal of change in the team because the manager's trying to find that consistency with the players and the relationships are still being forged. But I did think it played a part today. It just looked flat. It just looked devoid of energy. And, you know, sometimes the mind doesn't work as quick as it should do when it's tired. And, you know, the games are just coming, aren't they? And the pressure on Liverpool, and they're still finding things and the work in progress, as we keep saying. So I just thought it all played out that way for Liverpool. But on the flip side, I thought Leeds defended really well. I think sometimes you do have to give an opposition credit. You know, they've come here for a point. They're in a much better place than what Wolves were, although they served up the same system, the same tactics, you know, load, block, play deep, five at the back, pack the midfield, look for a runner when they could get out. But they're in a better place than Wolves. You know, mentally they're in a better place, the dressing room's in a better place. And they grinded out a draw today. But you're right, you know, from a Liverpool point of view, they didn't test them enough. But from a Leeds point of view, it was a job well done, I thought.
I thought Wolves were better than Leeds, offensively.
They had
it's proven our Achilles heel. Teams playing five at the back. They're looking at it. It was no shock to me that when we went to Elland Road, I think they played five at the back against Chelsea. It worked. They gave up loads of possession. It hit them on the break, throw-ins. And when they did it against us, you could see it. They were frustrating us a hell of a lot. Mm. But because they were at home, we did have more chances. But today, they were quite happy to sit back there and just soak it all up. And I'm looking at it at times, and there's just 20 metres from the edge of the box to that first attacker who was defending. Mm. You can say you're a good coach all you want. It's a lot easier to coach five at the back and everybody defending that 20-yard sort of corridor there than it is to try and break down the team. Mm. So, in fairness, yes, Leeds, I'm not trying to decry or take anything away from them. They did defend well. We just didn't do enough.
I think from an offensive point of view, from Liverpool, I think when you play five at the back and it's packed in midfield, you've got to be quick. Everything's got to be quick. You can't let them settle. You're looking for that one moment where someone just switches off. And that could come through quickness, it could come through tiredness towards the back end of the game. You're starting to wear them down. They just switch off. It's quick throws, quick free kicks. But we just didn't look like we had the energy to do that, to be quick, to be creative, to find an answer. And, you know, I thought the turning point of the game was the Ekitike. I'm sure we'll talk about it at length, but I still feel it was a penalty.
Yeah, we will talk about that.
It felt like it just was not falling for us in the box. Every time there was a ball and it broke, it was dropping to them all the time. There's not one thing where it come and we've had a shot and they've had a good block. Mm. And you were just time and time, you earn that right, and that's what Leeds will say.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't enough for us.
Leeds' first clean sheet in 15 matches. Last time they kept one was against Newcastle back in August, would you believe? We have the match stats for you. Let's just take a quick look at these before, as Jason says, we'll get into that potential penalty shout that didn't prove to be a penalty in the end. I mean, as you would expect there, Liverpool, the lion's share of possession, as you say, at 1.96 XG, which might be slightly higher than, Tomo, your face.
Well, only four shots on target out of those 19. That is the disappointing thing. And I think it might have been that very early on in the second half. So I think Steve Hunter alluded to it. We didn't really test the goalkeeper enough at all, particularly in the second half when you think we crank up the pressure going towards the cop, and it certainly didn't.
When I see 19 shots, I see that as a sign of frustration and good defending. When you have 19 shots and only 4 at the target, you know, sometimes you get frustrated. You start shooting from all angles, don't you? And you're missing the target.
How much possession? I would expect at least 25 plus shots.
Yeah.
You know, in that, and a couple more on target. But
yeah,
it is. It's, we should be better than that.
Didn't make the keeper work, you know.
In terms of the tempo, I mean, pace and intensity has been such a hallmark of this team in recent seasons. And so maybe, you know, it was a little bit slower at times. Is that down to what Jace was talking about? Maybe the schedule, it is a busy time of year. There's lots of minutes in the legs at the moment.
It is. And it's the game. We're playing Leeds United. We're at home. The fans come. And Steve was saying about the players need to give the fans a spark. The fans need to give the players a spark. It goes hand in hand, and I've always felt that. And it just was too flat. It was a New Year's Day, sort of. There, we've played a lot of games.
I know what you're saying.
And everybody's just like that. Everybody's come, and everybody's flat. There's no sort of G up from anybody, and it just felt like the game drifted.
It's a strange New Year's Day.
Unless you, like Tomo said, unless you give the fans something to shout about,
they're
not really
more,
willing.
Yeah.
It's like there's a few sore heads in that crowd today.
Quite a few.
They
I
need
think.
A bit of excitement. Yeah. But,
would you be surprised if I said the first ever 0-0 under Arne Slot in the 84th game in charge?
Right. First 0-0.
It is today. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, testament to Arne and his staff, if that's the first 0-0.
It is. I guarantee you that is as a
right,
correct stat.
I'll do it.
But you know what? I will say my producer said it to me and I question it because I couldn't believe it either, but that is absolutely the case. Let's speak about that. The main talking point, possibly the only talking point really, was the situation with Ekitike, the penalty shouts. Was he too honest, Jace, by staying on his feet?
Absolutely. He's,
Jace said that straight away. Mm. Too honest. There's, whatever you want to look at about it, that was his comment. Sorry, Jake, go on.
Yeah, and that's not us, you know, I think you agreed with me, didn't you? Mm. You know, that's not us saying players should be going over and players should be cheating, but, you know, there was enough there for him to go over and ask question.
On one hand, you never want to, of course, criticise a player for trying to stay on his feet, but at the same time, you want him to give Chris Cavanagh, the ref, a decision to make. Maybe
without a doubt. You looked at it, and we've seen it so many times. He's holding for a good 3, 4, 5 seconds. Mm. That's holding it. And then he makes a lunge, which doesn't make any contact. So there's so much going. If you go to just stopped and gone, what is that? It would have been a clear penalty. And although he stopped, it would have been a clear penalty. But he could have quite easily have gone down. And it was just a great comment. He was too honest. And I know he sets up Flo to get his shot away. Maybe that takes a little bit away from him.
He was falling to get the touch.
That's it.
I mean, I've watched it back, and even though we've said, you know, we felt maybe he could have gone down, I think there's enough there for him
to have gone to VAR
and be a penalty.
I mean, the boss has spoken about it in previous instances where he says that his players do their best to stay on their feet, and maybe players of other teams don't. It's a difficult situation to get into, isn't it? Because you don't want to see players going down for relatively little. That's not.
But the officials should know that as well. Mm. You have to reward people for that. Yeah. We don't score.
Good comment,
that has been taken away. You can't get that back. He should have gone, I'm going to reward you because he's held you for about 5 seconds. Then he's made a lunge which has not made any contact. Yes, you've got the pass away, but that doesn't make it right because we've been denied a goal from from the penalty kick, and that's where it should. He should go like that, right? Let's go over. Let's
outside the box, he gives a free kick.
Yeah,
good point.
You know, outside the box, he gives a free kick, but also, you know, we probably would have played the advantage because he actually does get the ball to Vert. So he probably would just want advantage, and you know, but I had the ball. I think that may played a factor. The fact that he got the ball to Vert, had he not, I think he might have reassessed it. But I think there's enough there for a penalty.
As you say, the foul, that happens. The ball comes to Wirtz. Wirtz gives it away. Takes it back and gives a free kick. Mm. Is that not the rule?
Yeah, that's what would happen.
So why did he not do the same thing with that and gone, oh, he's now had a shot, but he's gone, I'm going to bring it back just at 5 yards because that was a big incident in the movement.
Yeah, there has to be more of an incentive for players if they are going to stay on their feet, Jace, I guess.
In the sense of, what do you mean?
Well, as in, obviously...
After he stays up.
Yeah.
Because he stays up and you do not get the goal or whatever. You can't just go, well, he stayed on his feet and he's missed his chance.
Yeah, yeah.
You go back and you give the penalty.
You give the penalty, yeah. I mean, they can't go back. I mean, that's what VAR's there for.
Yeah.
You know, there was plenty, there's enough, as Tomo just mentioned there, not only did he hold him and hold him and hold him and hold him, even when he let go, he lunges
and makes
no contact with the ball. So at what point do you want to give the penalty? You know, there's enough there. You know, and I don't think, listen, if it was the other way around as well, because I always think like, you know, because sometimes we can be a bit biased on the channel, can't we? But they're our team and it's up. If it had gone the other way, and it had been given, and it was Virgil Olden or Canate, I'd go, that's a pen.
Fair, it's
a pen. Yeah, it's a pen. So I'm going to take it for our way as well.
You know, listen, that's Nonto at Leeds. You know, he goes down under from Ibu, and that's sort of, oh no, he's running out of play. Yeah. He's not even in play. So, right, just get on with it. No, he's called over to review it. Mm. And he didn't review that enough for him to go over and have a little look at it and go, I've missed that, really. I should have took it back. As Jay said, it's a great point, is that normally outside the box, that would be a free kick.
Yeah.
Because you take it back, which he's allowed to do.
Mm. No penalty then for Hugo Ekitike in that one. There were very few other chances to speak of, but he was at the centre of one of them. It was across from Jeremy Frimpong, and the header just didn't quite work out for him. He fires it across and he just doesn't adjust himself.
Listen, they're difficult. You know, you're looking for an angle, aren't you? You're trying to get it off the side of your head. It comes at him. There was a defender in front of him. He just fluffs his lines a little bit. But and Tom mentioned it before, that's the frustration about the day. Things just don't go for you in these on days like today. It just never fell for us.
I think the only other opportunity was the Virgil van Dijk header in the second half, Tomo, and that probably was, by his standards, he would say a good chance for him.
Yeah, listen, they're all people are grappling, holding, doing things like that. But when Virgil's a great header of the ball, he doesn't hit the target with a free header because he's lost the guy, his blocker. He's lost him and he gets the header. I'm thinking, you've got to be putting that on target, at least making the keeper make a save.
We'll try and focus on some positives. So it's unbeaten in 8. No defeat since the loss to PSV here. It is the longest sequence without defeat for almost a year. I mean, when we think of where we were only a few weeks ago and we said that baby steps were needed, today feels like a setback because we spoke about momentum and so
it's
on.
Like but a defeat.
Yeah.
Today.
But in terms of the bigger picture of the last 6 weeks or so, there's progress that's been made in that time.
Yeah, and this is where the manager needs to, you know, use the positives of that. You know, go in the dressing room, the lads will be down, they know they've let themselves down, they know it was an opportunity, it was a big opportunity against the team that's been promoted at home this time of year. Plus the gap, you know, you would have looked at that table before today's game, as I did, and thought, oh, we're in this, you know, we're not too far away. So to drop points, you know, and now it's down to the manager to use all them positives. Listen, unbeaten in 8, let's keep that momentum. You know, he doesn't need to harp on about the negatives. It's all about the positives.
Hey, listen, we were saying about small steps. It's quite similar against Sunderland. Everybody could be going like that. We should have beaten Sunderland. We should have beaten them. We should have won today, in all essence. But we are in the moment of rebuilding. It's, you know, it's not all been given to us. We're having a horrible time. Things were going so badly wrong. And now it's slowly turning. I don't want all the fans to start going, oh my goodness, we didn't beat Sunderland. But we felt a little bit of confidence coming back into the game for the boys.
Yeah, we are halfway through the Premier League 19, season now, believe it or not. Arne Slot said
only
judges,
halfway.
still a long way to go. But the boss said judges after 19 games. We're at that point now. What are your thoughts?
When did he say that? Beginning of the season? Because it's been an up and down 19 games, hasn't it?
It was a couple of months ago. It wasn't the start of the season.
It's been tough just in the manner in which we've lost games, because it was such a long period, wasn't it? And, you know, in that period, we were actually thinking, is this going to turn? Is it going to turn? What is going to go for us? You know, and then we've obviously had other incidents, and, you know, I done the preview show the other day and highlighted how well the manager's done through all this and navigating his way around these situations. It's been tough for him, you know, and the players, because it's been alien, all these losses. They're not used to it. So to come back to where we are, you know, over the last eight games, is, you know, they should be applauded, because it could have carried on. The negative could have carried on.
I'll give ourselves a little bit of a buffer there. There's 3 points, which, yes, it could have been more with a win today, but it's putting a buffer in there, and it's going to be a tough one come the week, man. They're all going to be tough now. We spoke before, I was hoping that we would have a result for the fans, a nice comfortable one. I can't remember when was the last time we had a nice comfortable game.
No, I know. I mean, in terms of what we said pre-match, you said you felt there was still maybe an outside shot of the title. Have you reassessed things after today?
I do a lot of different games. I'm really enjoying this season. Like, you know, over the season's gone by, it's been a bit mundane, and City winning the four, and then, you know, obviously us last season, it was great, but there wasn't really a great deal of challenge from other teams. It wasn't close. You know, we ran out winners quite early, didn't we? Which was amazing, obviously. But this season, there's been a bit of a throwback. You know, there's a bit of a 90s theme to it, isn't there? There's long throws, long balls, different things. We're having to talk about different things, which is great from a pundit point of view. I think it's caught some managers out. There's been some unbelievable displays from other teams, like Sunderland. It's great to see them, what they're doing. Bournemouth have been in there. And
the Villa.
Yeah, Villa, amazing. It's been great. But yeah, it's just, I'm still going to say that there's an outside chance.
Good. I am.
I think City the danger, because they've got the experience and the knowledge and they've been there before. I think Arsenal will have a wobble. I think Villa will slowly fall away because of the strength in depth that they've got, which isn't as big as the other teams around them. And I think that is a disappointment today, but I'm just going to put it down to the amount of fixtures, a bit of tiredness in the legs. A few players were off today. I think we need to be fair. I think Wirtz didn't have one of his better games. We give him praise when he does, but he didn't.
He didn't. I mean, the boss said he was tired after the Wolves game, Tomo. And again, we speak about the schedule, but it is understandable. And he's played very well in recent games, to give him credit.
Yeah, and we've seen the changes today, him ringing the changes with quite a few players. But I think Wirtz, he had to play him. He couldn't sort of go, because he's been such an influence in these last few games. Certainly the Wolves game, where he was absolutely top class. To take him out and maybe to bring him out, you may dent his contract, as though you will bring him in and say, look, this is the reason why. I just think he was having such, and it's not worked. It's not weird, because he looked really tired today, and he certainly didn't have that impact that we were all hoping he would do.
Had Liverpool been top of the table and he'd taken him out, I think that it would have made sense, wouldn't it? But because we are where we are, and he's having a bit of a purple patch, isn't he? And like Tomo said, I think if he'd have taken him out of the team today, I think we all would have gone, well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just maybe one too many. You know, we know he's still playing catch up. He's still trying to find his feet in the Premier League. We have highlighted the positives about him getting bigger and getting stronger, and his performance is getting bigger. He is going to get to that point. It was today where it just ran out of gas. And I think players like him, I think when you notice, it was his decision making. Like, he had one there where it fell to him and he just hit it with his left foot, and you're thinking, oh, that's not Wirtz. You know what I mean? It's like, when you're tired, you make silly
and frustrated.
You make silly decisions, and that's not him.
Yeah.
And I think that is down to the tiredness.
I didn't get your thoughts on the season. Jace said he still thinks there's a chance in terms of the title.
It's a long
shot. What about yourself?
It's a long shot, but I agree. City's the one. City seem to be coming into form, because going back sort of 6 weeks, you'd have gone, well, City is still up and down. They're really not getting it, but they're getting into a bit of form. City find it easier to sort of find ways round these teams. The way we play and we go on, they seem to find those pockets quicker, and they seem to have chances. You go, how have they worked that against a packed defence? We don't seem to be doing that at the moment. But City are the ones. I do think Arsenal have struggled a little bit defensively, not doing an attack. I know they just beat Villa, but they were struggling with them. And I do think the Villa, like Jace, I just don't think they've got the squad if they get a few knocks.
Let's get some thoughts from the boss now. Arne Slot has been speaking to Peter McDowell.
Well, boss, I suppose the overwhelming emotion at this point will be disappointment from today.
Yeah. Again, I would say. Not a lot. What I can blame the players, I think they tried from start to finish. Had a lot of ball possession, were a lot in and around the box. But we struggled to create big openings against a team that's defending so low, and not for the first time this season. And it's very hard for us to unlock a team like that. And the difficult thing is it's almost impossible to unlock it with 15, 20, 25, 30 passes. You need a moment like last week against Wolves, where Jeremy Frimpong then has the pace to take someone on 1v1. And he had a few of those moments today, by the way. I think what we can blame ourselves is that in the moments we had those moments, not enough bodies were probably in front of the goal, where a lot of them were there. And yeah, many teams unlocked this also with a set piece. We were very close with Virgil. But we didn't. Yeah, then it's hard to score a goal. And the good thing is that this season we've conceded a lot of times a goal in a game like this where we struggled to score, but then we conceded and then we even lost it. Mm. Now it's a draw, but yeah, it feels like a loss.
Yeah, they are the fine margins, aren't they? Sometimes you can talk about how defensively solid we were. We surrendered very few opportunities, and you know, sometimes the great crosses that did go into the box, a couple of them are finished off by somebody. They are the fine margins.
Yeah, I think there was one again from Jeremy with a good individual action where he crossed it, shot it with his left, which Hugo was very close of heading it in. Fine margins indeed, but yeah, we have to accept another dropping of points, and we go to Fulham.
What did you make of the big incident earlier on? Is it as easy to say that players maybe need to start falling down a bit easier and they will get those decisions, or is it not even that straightforward?
No, unfortunately it isn't, because I can come up with 3, 5, 6 moments where we were fouled inside the box, where referees didn't give penalties. And I can come up with a lot of examples where we hardly touched anyone, where we did concede a penalty. Brentford away, Crystal Palace Charity Shield, so many soft touches there where we conceded. So, but if we go down after a foul, we don't get one. So then that might lead to the fact that players feel like, yeah, if we hardly ever get a penalty, I think we only had one, and that for the team that has most ball possession in the league is not a lot. Then you could start to understand why we try to do everything to stay on our feet. Is it smart? I don't think it was. But is it understandable after the experience we are having after 19 games? Yes, it is.
And is it just belief now? You spoke a couple of weeks ago about the players having to roll their sleeves up. It's the same players that will have to go again at Fulham away. Is it just that, having that belief that this thing will turn?
Yeah, it's a lot to ask for the players who are fit, because as you could see today, four players with hardly any playing minutes in the Premier League were on the bench. Florian only trained once this week because 2 days after the game he felt his hamstring still a bit. So, yeah, you try to be as careful as you can without ruining your chances to win the game as much as you can with the schedule that's coming up, because missing out on another one would be even a bigger problem if that's going to take 5, 6, 7 or weeks or longer. The good thing was that Cody Gakpo was back after an injury. So yeah, I could make a few substitutions still. And these players have to do it as well in the upcoming weeks and months, because apart from Joe Gomez, I don't think I see a player coming back soon.
Thanks, boss. Appreciate it.
As always, he gives an honest assessment of the game. You were still frustrated watching that in terms of the penalty, though, Jace. The penalty that wasn't a penalty, of course.
Yeah, he was trying to... he was trying to be honest in his assessment of the penalty situation, but where I don't really agree with him is I don't think you need to go down. I think it should be on the officials to make the right call. If there's enough sort of pressure on the player, if there's enough foul on the player, then like I mean, we were talking while we were listening to it, you don't need to have an end product to then call it back and give the penalty. Just because he got the ball to Vert doesn't make it right.
You know,
it's still a foul. He's just been honest and stayed on his feet and managed to toe the ball to Vert. You know, do the right thing. At least go back and have a look at it.
But
you
that's the frustrating thing. That's exactly why it's been brought in. And then when it's not used in instances like that, it becomes...
You can't use the VAR for fouls. And as Jason said, that's outside the box. He stays on his feet. He then passes the ball to Vert and he gives the ball away. He brings it back.
Still bring it back, yeah.
Where's the difference in this? Why couldn't he go, oof, we've got this wrong? He was fouled. He's holding on to him for a good 5 seconds. He then makes a tackle which he gets nowhere near the ball. So he impedes his ability for him to score the goal. So then it comes to Flo. He obviously has the shot which is blocked. He should have gone, right, stop. Let's have a look at VAR because this is a clear, is a clear foul.
I mean, the question posed to him was, you know, are you going to say to your player, go down?
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of went, well, we're going to have that kind of conversation. But he shouldn't really have to have that conversation. It's a foul. You know, you shouldn't give the player credit for staying on his feet. You certainly shouldn't give him credit for going down. It was a foul. The officials need to get these decisions right. And they're so important. They're big.
Wasn't hard because you could see the holding was there and the linesman. The holding was there. The foul and making no contact with the ball at all. So it was there for all to see.
And it's not just that situation, is it? It's the bigger picture in terms of inconsistencies with officials, because you'd see that in another game. They might go back and look at it and give it. Half the time, you never really know what's going to happen, and the players don't either.
And you're kind of saying to the players, well, you're going to have to dive.
And on the flip side, they're going,
we hate players diving. Yeah. So how do you want it? Do you want it to dive to get the penalty when there's enough there, or do you want it to stay on the feet and you're not going to give it? It's like, do your job.
It is, because if Hugo would have been there and you've seen what it is, and he's gone down belatedly because he could have done at any given time, the hot one, the holding, two for the tackle, and he's gone down belatedly, people had gone, he's dived, because like he's not really but he's impeded him. And it's just so frustrating.
Incredibly frustrating. I think the frustration will go on all night. But let's just take a look at the forthcoming fixtures across January. Of course, it is Fulham, first of all, coming up next. Then a huge one down at the Emirates against Arsenal. Barnsley here is the next game at Anfield. That is a Monday night game on the 12th of January in the FA Cup. Following that, it's Burnley, also at Anfield in the Premier League. Then the Champions League returns. It's a tricky-looking trip to Marseille, first of all. That on the 21st of January. Then Bournemouth away in the Premier League. Carabag here at Anfield, back in the Champions League, before Newcastle come to Merseyside right at the end of January on the 31st. Tomo, some big games in there. How do you see this month panning out?
Difficult. You know, it's not like sort of we're flying when you'd be thinking, yeah, bring them on. You know, we can accept all them. It's interesting, the Marseille one, which will be difficult. They are not bad. We did speak about them playing against Real Madrid, and they were unlucky in the Bernabeu. And then the Carabag one, you know, we have had sort of good reports. You know, you go to Carabag, who are they? They're actually supposed to be very good. So there's a lot of, but from now on in, we've got to just keep our heads down and try and sort of navigate our way through it.
Yes, Thomas says it is all about momentum when you go into the games, and if you fly in, there's a fair few there that you wouldn't think would prove problematic, but in the current climate, maybe look a bit more tricky.
I think where we are, I think, you know, our A game at the minute, which is not an A game as where we want it to be, but we're our A game right now, I think, is enough to take on anybody. But I just think it's about recovery now. It's about how that is handled. We get that little spell, don't we, where I'm sure there'll be changes for Barnsley, which you'll probably give you a 2-week period then to rest some of the players that have had extended minutes. as it were, or played a lot of the games recently. So you get that opportunity, but the, you know, the next one's Fulham, so it's about getting them rested up. There are tired legs out there. There are. It's understandable. There's a lot of football, but it's mentally now, isn't it? It's how you handle it mentally. It's like you got to go again. Virg said, you know, we go again against Fulham, and that's what you got to keep doing. And it's easy when you're top of the table and you're flying, scoring lots of goals.
Yeah.
You just love playing, don't you? But when you're grinding, and it's cold and it's flat and it's this and it's that, it's like all them play into the narrative, and you know it is tough at the minute. But if they get an early goal, they get one, they get two, and they start, you know, it'll stay.
Well, I've got to look at it. Everybody else got to play the games with smaller squads. So we can't sort of look at that. Yes, we've had the Champions League ones, but, you know, the way the last games have been, there's not been Champions League games. It's just been full-on Premier League matches. So, and everybody's had them, so we've got to get on with it.
Okay, we go again on a Sunday rather against Fulham, but 80th minute equaliser against Crystal Palace today, 1-1 that one finished. It's a tricky one to call this. It's never the easiest place to go down at Craven Cottage. They're having a very middle of the road season, albeit had won three in a row before today, maybe showing signs of picking up a little bit. How do you assess this one? A tough one to call.
Marco Silva, I think he's done a really, really good job. Again, it's one of them clubs that sells, doesn't it? The creative in the transfer market. They have been quite settled. You know, on paper, they look like a very good team. Maybe should offer a little bit more. But they've got a thin squad, and sometimes that can hurt you, certainly at this time of the year. But it's funny because I've done a few of the games recently, and their star player has been Harry Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored a goal. I'm trying to think who it was now, where he went round a little 1-2, give and go, and flipped it. Remember that one?
Nah.
Oh, outstanding. And he's in a hot run of form, Harry Wilson. So I hope he doesn't, you know, come back to haunt us.
Yeah, he's got a wonderful left foot.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
He can do it, certainly from that right-hand side.
Yeah.
And he whips them round.
It's so important if you're going to go into that game at the Emirates with a bit of confidence to get a good result down there prior to the Arsenal game, Phil.
No, without a doubt, two games in London, it's Premier League games, and you'd like to think, yeah, you'd want that. And I think Fulham do fancy their chances down there. I don't think it'll be a very low block all the game. So I think it will give us a chance to sort of at least play a bit more quicker football between the lines, because we've not seen that. That's why I was hoping that today, for the fans to sort of get between the lines. But knowing Leeds, they would play a low block. It just never happened.
Big test of the away form these next two games, which has obviously been a bit of an Achilles heel this season when you look at the record, 1-4, lost 4, drawn just the 1 away. So it's a big two games.
Leeds improving, yeah, but we've improved.
Yeah,
you know, we've improved as a team, and you know, the two challenges that are going to come up in the capital, you know, we're going to serve up different tactics, different formations, different personnel, and different mindsets to the game. We're probably expected to get something really from Fulham. Probably people are looking at Arsenal as maybe the winners against us. So, you know, it'll be different. But you know, like I keep saying, if we bring where we're at right now, that top game where we're at, you know, we can certainly beat Fulham, but we can take points off Arsenal, and it's not within our grasp. If you'd have asked me 10 games ago, I'd have been a bit sceptical about both fixtures and wonder, you know, maybe 2 points from the two games.
I was going to say, what would be a good return from these two games? What would you take points-wise?
I'd take four.
I would take 4 points.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
All day long. That would be ideal. But it'd be nice just to continue our run that we're on.
And knowing us, it'll be a draw against Fulham and we'll beat Arsenal.
We shall see what happens. Thank you both very much indeed for your company. That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Sunday, though, with more analysis and interviews after that trip to Fulham. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.